word of the Lord is not chained. The word of God is not chained. One of those verses that, at least for me, leaps out at us. This idea in our scriptural tradition that no matter where we find ourselves, whether it's at our lowest, when we feel bound by whatever illnesses of body, mind, or spirit we may have, that God's word is still alive. God does not have to adhere to the limitations that we have in our bodies and our spirits. It's powerful. I hear that theme in all of our scriptures today, starting with Jeremiah. You'll remember a few weeks ago I preached about that odd story that we heard read, where right as Nebuchadnezzar is about to breach the walls of the holy city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah is given a vision by God to buy a piece of property. You remember that? And people are saying, why in the world, when the largest oppressor of the day, Nebuchadnezzar, had already wiped out the Egyptian armies, and he was marching into the Holy Land, and he was about to make them all his vassals, his servants, his slaves. At that very moment, people said, you've got to be out of your mind, Jeremiah. But Jeremiah buys that piece of property because he says, the word of God is not changed. We may be, but the word is not. And we will not bend. We will not break. We will not flee out of fear. And then today, we get another of these stories from Jeremiah. Only today, Jeremiah is in the holy city. He didn't leave, at least yet, we don't think. His journey eventually would take him to Egypt, but I think in this letter, most scholars say he's still writing from that besieged city. And he writes a letter to those who were taken away. King Nebuchadnezzar did what all cruel tyrants do. He looked around the city, his conquered city, and he chose the brightest, the smartest, the wisest, the best educated, the wealthiest, and he took them out of their city and led them to Babylon, where they became enslaved peoples. Now, they didn't know how long they were going to be there, away from their homes in this foreign land. We hear in Psalm 137, remember that song? If I should forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my hand lose its skill. How can I sing the Lord's songs in an enemy's land? That was where that hymn was coming from, that place where they were in exile. And Jeremiah writes them a letter and says to them, your home is not where you think it is. You may think that your home is lost, that Nebuchadnezzar leveled it, and then now you are in this alien land. Or you may think that you have to wait until you can get back to your home in order to live again. Just kind of white knuckle it until the day when hopefully you're allowed. They knew the Exodus story, right? So perhaps they thought while they were in Babylon that they would be liberated in order to come back. They had that story deep in their DNA. So they were praying and hoping that once again God would, as he did with the Israelites in Egypt, liberate them and allow them to go back to Jerusalem. Jeremiah says, no, you misunderstand. You misunderstand. The word of God is not changed. Build houses here. Plant vineyards. Plant apple trees. Plant life. Plant yourselves in life, in this place. Have children. Give your children over to marriage. Live even now because the word of God is not chained. Now that is a profound reorientation for the people of Israel. A profound reorientation about what true home is. What it means to be at home. They'd known exile after exile after exile, but they'd also known the return to the Holy Land, and perhaps they were confused about where their real home lies. Now, in our tradition, there's another spiritual. I know I've been preaching and using a lot of the spirituals lately because I've been listening to them both at home and elsewhere. And last Sunday, Lynette was there with me for the concert. I told you Frank Ward, who was the voice professor at the University of Akron, gave an hour and a half long performance in which he sang some of the great spirituals of our tradition. He also sang some of the great European music from Haydn and from other great composers from the European tradition. But the first piece he did was one I didn't know. I'd never heard it before. But it speaks right to what Jeremiah is talking about and what the gospel is talking about, I think. So let me try to make a connection. It's an old spiritual called City of Heaven, or sometimes Poor Pilgrim of Sorrow. I don't know if we could sing that one. I can't sing that one. Go home and Google Mahalia's version of it. She's got the definitive version of, and I think it's titled City of Heaven. And the way it begins is, I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow, tossed in this wild world or wide world alone. I have no hope for tomorrow. And then there's a pause when Mahalia sings, and she slows it down, as you know how she knows how to do every note. Sometimes one word will last, you know, forever. Mahalia's given us the word. No hope have I for tomorrow. I've started to make heaven my home. Some of you know. I've started to make heaven my home. There is the wisdom of Jeremiah, right in our tradition. That our true home is not dependent upon where we live, and it's not dependent upon the leadership of the country or of the city we live in. I don't know about you, but when Barack Obama was elected president, there was a part of me that thought, well, maybe finally America's going to feel a little bit more like home to me. It hadn't felt like home to me since I was born. I mean, I'm 1967, so, you know, I missed a lot of the 60s with JFK and the hopefulness that came with that. I was, you know, Bobby Kennedy, I was a year old, I missed that. I came of age during the Reagan years and the Bush years. And I don't know, I'm not going to, you know, get into trouble with politics, but even Clinton didn't really get me all that excited. But when Barack got elected, I thought, maybe, finally, it's going to start to feel a little, but you know what? Even that wasn't home. And the hopes that were dashed so quickly when our current president got elected were ones I realized early on not to expect too much of this land. And we have to be careful about that, because we can be duped, we can be misled, we can be, you know how they want our votes. I started to make heaven my home. When we do that, then those other political manipulations or gestures to try to make us feel like we belong aren't a distraction anymore. Now, the gospel talks about that with the story of the 10 lepers. Notice how it says they kept their distance from Jesus. Lepers are a metaphor for us of a kind of spiritual homelessness, just like in that spiritual. I am a poor pilgrim. We can imagine those lepers singing that spiritual, right? I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow, storm-tossed on this world all alone. Lepers weren't allowed because of the nature of their disease, or the stigma about the nature of their disease. They were not allowed to be in the presence of other people. They were storm-tossed. They were exiles, eternally exiles. And so when they saw Jesus, they didn't even think to go anywhere near him, because they had gotten so used to being pilgrims of sorrow. And they shout from afar, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us." And of course, our Savior doesn't wait. He's like the father in the story of the prodigal son. Remember that story. Very important we get it right. Before the prodigal son gets home, before he gets home, his father's already looking for him, already reaching out to him. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus saw those 10 pilgrims of sorrow before they even saw him. That's how our God is. He doesn't wait for us to get it right. And he blesses them. And what do? What's the mistake they make? They think that now they can go home, somewhere else. And so they take off lickety-split. Maybe they can go back into the temple and be with the priest. They're confused. There's one of the ten, though, who is not confused. And note, church, he's a Samaritan. He is doubly displaced in this land. Doubly displaced. And he realizes in that very moment where he begins to be healed that he has a true home. And it is with Jesus. It is at the feet of Jesus. It is all the way to the cross with Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus says, now, your faith has made you well. Now, you're home. We need never fear, even though we will fear because we're human. But we need never fear whoever's in that oval office. We need never fear who's in the mayor's office, or who is in the senator's office, or who is in the congress, or who is in the clergy's office. We need never fear because we have the opportunity to make heaven our home and to strive to make heaven even more of our home. No matter how bleak the next day looks. I have no hope for tomorrow. We sing in that spiritual. I have no hope for tomorrow. Things, we're not blind, we're not naive, and this is why we don't get fooled by the politicians who try to sell us optimism. But you're not fooled by that. Because we know that our home doesn't lie in this land. We are pilgrims on this journey, all of us. But we are not without hope. Because we have our Lord Jesus. We have our friend, our Savior, our strength, our rock, as we just say in our hymn. Now, Luther, who wrote another great spiritual, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You know that one? We know that one. We sing it well. Luther, I'm going to finish the sermon. It's going to be a short one today, I think this is short. Luther put it beautifully. He said, "If I were to know that tomorrow was my last day on earth, if I knew that the end was coming for me, I would still plant my apple tree. I would still plant that apple tree." Let us plant, my friends. Let us plant. And trust the Lord will make us one with him in his home in heaven, here on this earth. In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen.